Chapter 10. The Clinging Death. Beauty Smith slipped the chain from White Fang's neck and stepped back. For once, White Fang did not make an immediate attack. He stood still, his ears pricked forward, alert and curious, surveying the strange animal that faced him. Tim Keenan pushed the bulldog forward and muttered, "Go to it!" The animal walked into the center of the circle, short and ugly. He came to a stop and looked across at White Fang. There were cries from the crowd of, "Go to him, Cherokee! Eat him up, Cherokee!" But Cherokee did not seem anxious to fight. He was not afraid, just lazy. Besides, he was not used to fighting with that kind of dog. He was waiting for them to bring on the real dog. Tim Keenan stepped in and began to stroke Cherokee on both sides of the shoulders. The effect was irritating, and Cherokee began to growl very softly, deep down in his throat. This had an effect on White Fang. The hair began to rise on his neck and across his shoulders. Then Tim Keenan gave Cherokee a final push forward, and he broke into a run. White Fang struck. The bulldog was soon bleeding from a tear in his thick neck. He did not even snarl, but turned and followed after White Fang. Again and again, White Fang sprang in, slashed and got away untouched. And still his strange enemy followed him, not too quickly, not slowly, but deliberately, in a businesslike sort of way. The crowd was becoming excited, and the men were making new bets and increasing original ones. White Fang was puzzled. He had never seen such a dog before. It had no hair protection. It was soft and bled easily. Each time his teeth struck, they sank easily into its flesh. The animal did not seem able to defend itself. Another puzzling thing was that it made no outcry as he was used to with the other dogs he had fought. Apart from a growl or a grunt, the dog took its punishment silently, and it never stopped in its pursuit of him. But White Fang could not get at the soft underside of the throat. The bulldog stood too short, and its huge jaws were an added protection. White Fang leaped in and out unharmed, while Cherokee's wounds increased. Suddenly, White Fang got the chance to sink his teeth into Cherokee's shoulder, but he struck with such force that his momentum carried him over the other dog's body. For the first time in his fighting history, men saw White Fang lose his footing. His body turned over in the air, and he landed heavily on his side. The next instant, he was on his feet, but in that instant, Cherokee's teeth closed on his throat. White Fang ran around wildly, trying to shake off the bulldog's body. The weight of the dog restricted him and made him frantic. He ran round and round, trying to throw off the weight that gripped his throat, but Cherokee held on. White Fang finally stopped when he had tired himself out. He could do nothing, and he could not understand why. He lay on his side, panting for breath. There was no escaping that grip. Cherokee was slowly choking White Fang to death. White Fang was finding it more and more difficult to breathe, and it began to look as if the battle was over. Shouts of applause went up for the winner, and there were many cries of, "Cherokee! Cherokee!" Suddenly, the spectators heard the jingle of bells. Everybody, apart from Beauty Smith, looked anxious. They saw two men running with a sled and dogs. At the sight of the crowd, the two men stopped their dogs and came over, curious to see the cause of the excitement. White Fang had almost ceased struggling. He could get less and less air under the merciless grip on his throat. Beauty Smith, realizing that the fight was lost, sprang upon White Fang and began to kick him savagely. There were hisses from the crowd and cries of protest, but that was all. Then a tall young man forced his way through the crowd and made his way up to Beauty Smith. The newcomer's fist smashed into his face. Beauty turned over backwards and fell into the snow. The newcomer turned upon the crowd. "You cowards," he cried. "You beasts! Do you not see the pain you are causing?" He was in a rage. Beauty Smith got to his feet and came towards him. The newcomer did not know that Beauty Smith was a coward and thought that he was coming back to fight. "You beast," he repeated, and smashed Beauty Smith's face with his fist, sending him backwards again. Beauty Smith decided that the snow was the safest place for him and lay where he had fallen, making no effort to get up. "Come on, Matt, lend a hand," the newcomer called to his friend, who had followed him into the pen. Both the men bent over the dogs and tried to separate them, but in vain.
"You'll have to get something to force his jaw open, Scott," Matt advised.
Scott took his revolver and tried to force it between the bulldog's jaws. Tim Keenan came into the pen and said threateningly to Scott,
"Don't break his teeth, stranger."
Scott continued working, though he looked up and asked, "Is this your dog?" Keenan nodded.
"Then get in here and break his grip."
But Keenan refused.
"Then get out of the way and don't bother me. I'm busy," Scott said.
He managed to loosen the jaws of the bulldog a bit at a time, while Matt freed White Fang's crushed neck. The two animals were finally pulled apart, the bulldog struggling vigorously.
"Take him away," Scott commanded,
and Tim Keenan dragged Cherokee back into the crowd. White Fang made several efforts to get up. Once he succeeded, but his legs were too weak to support him, and he fell back into the snow. His eyes were half closed and glassy. His tongue stuck out through his open jaw. He looked like a dog that had been strangled to death. Matt examined him.
"He's just about all in," he announced. "But he's still breathing."
Beauty Smith had got to his feet and had come over to look at White Fang.
"Matt, how much is a good sled dog worth?"
Scott asked.
$300, Matt answered. "And how much for one that's all chewed up like this one?"
Scott asked.
"Half of that," was the reply. "Did you hear, Mr. Beast?" said Scott, turning to Beauty Smith. "I'm going to take your sled dog from you, and I'm going to give you $150 for him."
He opened his wallet and counted out the notes. Beauty Smith put his hands behind his back, refusing to take the money.
"I'm not selling," he said.
"Oh, yes, you are," Scott assured him, "because I'm buying. Here's your money. The dog's mine."
And as Beauty Smith began to back away, Scott raised his fist threateningly.
"All right,"
Beauty Smith said, and he took the money quickly. Scott turned his back on him and returned to help Matt, who was looking at White Fang. Some of the men were already departing. Others stood in groups, looking on and talking. Tim Keenan joined one of the groups.
"Who is that idiot?"
he asked.
"Weed and Scott," someone answered. "One of those first-class mining experts. He's in with all the big guys. The Gold Commissioner's a special friend of his. If you want to keep out of trouble, you'll steer clear of him. That's my advice."